Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuvchav Zayin. We are holding on daf Kuvchav Vav Amdeis. We are at the Mishnah. Says Mishnah, Beitzas Hasheretz Hamaru Kemes. The egg of a sheretz that already has an embryo forming in it, Tahora, is going to be considered Tahora. Nikva Kol Shehu Tameh. But as soon as there's a puncture in the egg at all, even a Kol Shehu, it's going to be Tameh. So while it doesn't have a neck of its Tahora, she says, Vishi Yevsher Ligaba, because you can't touch it, and anything that you can't touch is not going to be metame. But nikva kolshu is metame even if you don't actually touch it, because the shomer, the shell, is considered a shomer, and a shomer is able to be motzi tuma as long as it's efshar ligabo. So that's one half of the mishnah of the mishnah. Second half of the mishnah. If you have a mouse that is half made up of flesh and half made up of adama, it's half made up of ground. If you touch the flesh part of the achbar, you are tame. If you touch the adama part of the achbar, the part that's still ground, it's tahar. Rabbi Yehuda says even if you touch the adama part that is near the basar, meaning the part that's still undeveloped into an achbar, but is going to develop into an achbar, that's part of the adama, that will make you tameh as well. What in the world are we talking about? So Rashi tells us about a certain type of achbar, yesh min achbar, second to last skinny line, she'eno paravirava, elame atzmo notzar me adama, a certain type of achbar that doesn't reproduce like normal animals reproduce, rather it's created from the ground itself, it just emerges from the ground. Ka'ashba misharetzes talaim, just like when you have garbage, a lot of times a worm, it will start to get wormy. Those worms come from nowhere, they just generate themselves. V'madayin lo nivra achbar, so our Mishnah is talking about, so you have a self spontaneously generating achbar that comes from the ground. So if the achbar has not yet been fully formed, elitzido echara yamini o asmali hanogea bebasar tameh ba'adam shekenegdo tahar, so it's not fully formed. Only the right side or the left side is formed. So if you touch the basar that's already formed, your tamei, you touch the adama that's not yet already formed, that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Tanakama says tar and Rabbi Yehuda says Tamei. So what in the world is this? Is there really such a creature? So Rashi seems to be convinced that there is such a creature that exists. The Rambam writes that even though it's a davar matmiya, he says kvari idu al kach rabim ma'od shara'uzos. He says a lot of people have been meyed. They say that they have seen this. The Rambam writes, but it's a davar matmiya. It's a very, very strange thing to believe that something like this actually exists. Now there is a passage in Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif in this Mishnah is a fairly famous Tosfos Yontif, because Tosfos Yontif writes that even though you might question the metzius of such an achbar, he says that I found in a certain book. Tosfos Yontif writes that I found he said I heard a lot of people that mock the mention of this creature and here and in Masech Sanhedrin, and he says they deny such a creature exists. So I have to tell you that I discovered in a German book authored by a renowned non-Jewish scholar named Link that he says that there was such a creature found in Egypt and that it exists, that its front parts, including the head, breast, and front legs, are well formed. Its backside initially consists of clods of earth, and after several days it entirely transforms into flesh. So Dr. Schner Lyman has an article on this topic, on this Mishnah, on this Tosfos Yontif, really, whether this exists. Because Tosfos Yontif quotes some sort of German book authored by Link. Now, Link lived from 1767 to 1850, was a German botanist and zoologist, so he's certainly an expert in that field. If it existed, he would have known about it. And he wrote a book, which the title translates, Dr. Lyman writes, to the primeval world of antiquity elucidated by natural history. So the book treats treats ancient society, antiquity. It doesn't really discuss things that were going on in the 19th century. But Dr. Lyman shows through the article and through an analysis of the original book that Link had wrote, that Link was not actually actually saying that this thing existed in the 19th century in Egypt. What he was trying to show was that there was a belief that such a thing existed in ancient society. Thus, Yantif read it and obviously misunderstood what he was talking about. He thought that Link was referring to something from that existed in his time, and he clearly wasn't. The way Dr. Lyman writes it, that one would like to think that the Tosi Yantif, whose seminal work is everywhere characterized by intellectual honesty, would have retracted his garbled reading of Link if only the error had been brought to his attention. So and he goes on to say, so what? So Chazal spoke about a creature that doesn't exist. It's not the end of the world that their knowledge of science was not exactly what our knowledge of science is. Their knowledge of science reflected, and he quotes several famous sources that all say basically the same thing, that the knowledge of science of Chazal was based on the science of the times in which they lived, and they were just as progressive in their scientific knowledge as anybody else in their time. Their halachic knowledge is unquestioned. Their Torah knowledge we accept unquestionably, but their scientific knowledge, and a lot of times they'll tell us what the halacha would say in cases that don't actually exist. And sometimes that's very important to know what the halacha would say, even though the specific cases they speak of don't actually exist. For instance, the example I always like to give, Dr. Lyman doesn't mention this example though. For instance, you have Nisabra Bambati, the Gemara's full sugya is about a woman who goes into a bathtub that a man was in that bathtub before, and she becomes pregnant from going into that bathtub. That's impossible. That cannot happen. But because Chazal gave us the halacha in such a case, we are now able to analyze what is the halacha when a person has a pregnancy without a maisabiyah. So what's the halacha in terms of yichus? What's the halacha in terms of mamzerus? All of those types of issues. And that was totally irrelevant until the 20th century when we discovered the ability to perform artificial insemination. Now all of a sudden we needed to know these things. We needed to know what happens when there's a pregnancy without a maisabiyah. So just giving us the theoretical construct and what the halacha would be in this situation is not a waste of breath. Chazal had to give us the theoretical constructs with which to work. Probably the most well-known passage in Rishonim to describe Chazal's knowledge of medicine is Rav Ram ben Rambam. Rav Ram ben Rambam writes that we, in Dr. Schnellheimen's translation, we need not support or agree with rabbinical pronouncements on medicine, science, and astronomy merely because of the greatness of the rabbis and because of their expertise in Torah study. And we rely on them in matters pertaining to Torah, for they are masters of Torah and are charged with teaching Torah to the masses. That's what we rely on Chazal for entirely. We do not rely on Chazal for our own scientific knowledge. The Rav Ram ben Rambam writes that anyone who performs brain surgery based on the Gemara Maseches Ksubos decides to follow the instructions that the Gemara has for how to perform brain surgery is likely going to kill his patient. And even if he did understand the Gemara properly, it's Dama Barosho, taking your life into your own hands. Okay, good. So such a creature probably does not exist, or definitely does not exist, but it doesn't matter. It's still a worthwhile Mishnah to learn. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Hatameim the Rabbos Beitzas Hasharetz V'Kolos Hasharetz. Hatameim comes to include the Beitz of the Sheretz and the Kolos, the marrow bone of the Sheretz. Yachla filu lo rikmaim, I think even if there's no embryo formed, Tam lomra Sheretz. Ma Sheretz Sherakam, ha Beitz Sheretz Sherikma. Just like a Sheretz has to be that it's formed, so through the Beitz Sheretz needs to have that its embryo is formed. Yachla filu lo nikvu, I think that it's metame even without a nekev, even if it's not punctured. Tam lomra hanoge yitma. Esha efshar liga tame, as shi'i efshar liga tohar. Only that which is possible to touch is tame, that which is impossible to touch is tar. So if it's completely enclosed and there's no hole at all in the egg, so then it's going to be tar. The kamen kivasa, how large is the hole? Kichuta sa'ara, she'ef shaliga kichuta sa'ara, that all you need is a hole the size of a chuta sa'ara, because as Rashi says, sa'arosho v'ziknoim yachnisu l'tocha rei naga v'tamei, that will make it accessible for maga, because one could stick the hair of his head or the hair of his beard through that hole and will touch the inside, and therefore it is subject to maga. Once it's subject to maga, now it's able to be metame. Fine, achbar shechetzia. Then the Mishnah went on to discuss this achbar that's half mouse, half ground. So you touch the mouth side, you definitely tame. You touch the ground side, machlokas tanakama says yitar, the Rabbi Yehuda says you tame. So says the Gemara Rabbi Shimon Levi, v'hu shehishritz al pnei kulo, that this is only true when it started to form from end to end, meroshu ad raglo, and along the entire length of the animal, meaning it doesn't form front and then back. It's only if it's forming right side then left side. So you could see the exact full length of the animal already by the part that's already formed, because the right side of its body is formed, and then you touch the left side by the where the dirt is on the left side. So ikadamasana seifa. Some have that comment of Rabbi Shimon Levi dafka on the seifa, where Rabbi Yehuda Omer afanogea ba'adama shekneged basar tamei. That when does Rabbi Yehuda say you're going to be tameh if you touch the adama, the part that's going to be basa but is right now still adama? That's only if it's hishritz al panei kulo. So madamasa reisha kol shkina seifa. So if you're going to learn Rabbi Shimon Levi's comment on the reisha which is talking about touching the basar part, touching the part that's already basar, and still Rabbi Shimon Levi's going to say you're tahar unless it was hishritz al panei kulo, meaning let's say the front of the body formed and the back of the body didn't form. So the madamasa reisha would say that even when we say that your tummy, if you touch the front of the body, even when we say your tummy, that's not true when you touch the front of the body. It's only if the right side of the body formed, left side of the body didn't form. So then when you touch the part of the body that formed, you'll be tummy. But the idea of touching the part of the body that formed being mitame is only if it's ishra salpan ekulo. That's what the manda masna resha, then kol shkena seifa, when Rabbi Yehuda says that you're even going to be tummy by touching the unformed part, so certainly that's talking about only when it's hishritz al panei kulo. Even the fact that you're tamei when you touch the formed part, the already formed part, it's only when it's hishritz al panei kulo. Kal v'chomer, when Rabbi Yehuda says you're tamei for touching the unformed part, it's only going to be when it's hishritz al panei kulo. But amanda masna seifa v'al reisha av agav lo hishritz. But if you learn Rabbi Shimon Levi to be going on the seifa, meaning that he's only talking about Rabbi Yehuda shita, that you're tamei when you touch the unformed part, so he says, yeah, that's only if he would not say the same about the halacha that you're tamei when you touch the formed part. That would be true even if it's not ishrit sal p'nei kulo, even if only, let's say, the front of the body is formed and the back of the body of the animal is not yet formed. So that's the difference between mandem asa resha and mandem asa seifa. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Sharav Osatum in Perek Dalet Halach Yiral of Paskins that a sheretz that's chetzio basar and chetzio adama hanogea b'basar tamei uba adama tahar. If you touch the basar side of it, you're tamei. You touch the adama side of it, you're tahar. V'im hishritz al pnei kulo af hanogea ba'adama sha'adayin lo nigmar tzraso tamei. But says the Rambam, if it's hishritz al pnei kulo, then even if you touch the adama side, you're tamei. So the Achronim, the Kesef Mishnah, and others have a hard time understanding that Rambam. Because what's the Rambam saying? What do we have in the Gemara? We had two possibilities of what Rabbi Shimon Levi said. Either Rabbi Shimon Levi said, v'hush hishritz al pnei kulo, is only within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but within the shita of the Chacham, there is no such concept of v'hush hishritz al pnei kulo, or it's within the shita of the Chacham and within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But still, the only one that would hold that you touch the adama side and it will make you tame is Rabbi Yehuda. So why would the Rambam paskin like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda against the Tanakama? This is against the Tanakama in both Lashonos of the way to understand Rabbi Shimon Levi. So why would the Rambam paskin against the Tanakama like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Marie Korkus explains that he assumed that if Rabbi Shub and Levi, if the Rambam is paskening that Rabbi Shub and Levi is going al ha-seifa, he's commenting on the seifa, and the Rambam is figuring that if the Gemara chooses to comment on the comment of Rabbi Yehuda and doesn't comment on the shita of the Tanakama, maybe that's an indication that we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that the Gemara spends more time discussing the shita of Rabbi Yehuda maybe is an indication that we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe that's why the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Or he says maybe the Rambam holds that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. Tanakama just spoke in a situation where it was not Hishritz al Pnei Kulo, and that's why the Tanakama thinks you're only Tame if you touch the formed side, not the unformed side. And Rabbi Yehuda is speaking in a situation where it was Hishritz al Pnei Kulo, and that's what Rabbi Shulban Levi is doing. He's making a kimta. He's showing that there's no machlokas, but Rabbi Yehuda Shita is only in such a case where it's Hishritz al Pnei Kulo, and that's why you're Tame even if you touch the Adama side, in which case the Rambam's paskin like everybody, the Rambam would be no problem at all. The only thing is, it's a little bit of a stretch, a little bit of a difficult read in the Mishnah to assume that there's no machlokas going on at all. Okay, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, last skinny line on Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, Mitok Shnemar Achbar Shomani Afilu Achbar Shabiyam Shemo Achbar. Because it says Achbar, I would think even a sea creature that's called Achbar is included in the halachos of Achbar. V'dinu Time be chulda v'time be achbar, and the truth is, it makes sense because the Torah is metame chulda, the Torah is metame in achbar. Ma chulda min agadol aretz av achbar min agadol aretz. On the one hand, we could say, well, just like a chulda that's tame by the Torah is only a chulda that lives on the ground, so too an achbar is only an achbar that lives on the ground, and therefore that would exclude the sea creature that's called an achbar. Or maybe you could have said otherwise, that time b'chulda v'time b'achbar, the Torah is metame chulda, the Torah is metame in achbar. Ma chulda kol sheshma chulda af achbar kol sheshmo achbar. So you might say as follows, that just like a chulda, anything that's called chulda is tame like a chulda, so anything that's called achbar is tame like an achbar. Afilu achbar shabiyam sheshmo achbar. And that would include the achbar shabiyam that's called achbar. So we're not sure which way to go with this comparison between achbar and chulda. Should we say just like chulda's on the ground, so to dafka and achbar's on the ground? Or should we say anything that's called chulda, so to anything that's called achbar, even Shabiyam. Tamadoma, that's why the Pasuk says, Al Ha'aretz. Al Ha'aretz tells you that if it grows in the sea, if it lives in the sea, it's not included in Achbar. Frankly, Gemara, I Al Ha'aretz, Yachal Al Ha'aretz Yitma, Yer Liam Lo Yitma. So from the Pasuk Al Ha'aretz, I might think, yes, so long as it's still on the land, it's Metame. As soon as it chooses to descend into the sea, it will no longer be Metame, meaning not something that lives in the sea. It's an Achbar, it's a ground Achbar. I might think, therefore, that as soon as it sets foot in the ocean, all of a sudden now it's not going to be Metame. Tamalomer Hashoretz. That's why the Pasuk says Hashoretz, to teach me that no, wherever it happens to be, it's going to be called, it's going to be Tame. It's just we're excluding the Achbar that lives in the sea. But if it happens to if you have a regular Achbar that happens to be in the sea, it doesn't lose its Tame status. Maybe Hashoretz comes to teach me something else. Maybe Hashoretz comes to teach me that only an achbar that reproduces normally is mitame, something that's shoretz. But if an achbar that doesn't reproduce normally, that's spontaneously generated from the ground, would not be mitame vidinu. And the truth is, that makes a certain amount of logical sense. Time b'chulda v'time ba'achbar. We again compare the chulda to the achbar. Ma chulda kol shesh, or the achbar to the chulda. Ma chulda kol shesh ma chulda av achbar kol shesh ma achbar. Avi achbar shechetzio basar v'chetzio adama. Because on the one hand, you could have said that just like anything that's called a chulda is tame, so to anything that's called an achbar is tame, including an achbar that's half mouse, half ground, would also be tame. O kol chul derech zu. Or maybe you could have gone in the other direction. Machul de parvarava af achbar parvarava. That the comparison to chulda should tell me the other way. That just like a chulda is parvarava, it reproduces, so too only an achbar that reproduces is tame. So which way should we go on this discussion? Is the comparison to chulda there to teach me that an achbar that's half ground, half achbar, is tame? Or is dafka not tame? Tamalomer basharet. That's why the pasuk says basharet, to teach me that it's not tame, that it's dafka something. It's an extra pasuk to dafka teach me that which is shoret, that which reproduces. So Ahumid Rabbanan said to Rava, Ema basharet asui achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama hasharet kol shu shoret vafilu achbar shabiyam. Maybe you could say as follows. Basharet comes to teach me an achbar to include an achbar that's half ground, half mouse, and hashoret comes to teach me anything that's shoreitz, even an achbar shabiyam, meaning maybe we're being all inclusive, where the double expression of basheretz and ashoreitz is coming to include everything. Both issues that we were mesupik about, both the achbar shabiyam as well as the achbar that's half adama and half achbar, are being included by those words. V'imishum al ha'aretz. What are you going to do with the words al ha'aretz then? After all, al ha'aretz makes it sound like it's dafka a ground creature, not a sea creature. Allah aretz yitzma, yerid liyam lo yitzma. Maybe Allah aretz is there to teach me that any of these creatures are only tame when they are on the aretz, but as soon as they go into the sea, then they are no longer mitame. Amrlei umeachad to shavisa liyam makum tuma malihacha malihacha. He says no, but that doesn't make any sense. Think about it. You just said the achbar that lives in the sea is mitame, so the yam is obviously a makum tuma. It's a place where you have tame achbarim. So then you're going to say the achbar that lives in the ground, as soon as it goes into the sea, should it all of a sudden become tahar? It doesn't make any sense. Why should it all of a sudden become tahar? The sea is a place where there are shrutzim that are tameim. So it doesn't make any sense to assume that it should be tahar. So frankly, but wait a second. V'hai al ha'aretz mi bayile lahotzi safek tumat safa. We already need this al ha'aretz to teach me that, let's say, you have a dead sheretz that's floating on the water. So if you have a safek whether you touched it or didn't touch it, even Bereshus HaYachid, the halacha is Safek Tahar. Normally, when it comes to Safek Tumah, Safek Tumah, Bereshus HaRabim is Tahar, Safek Tumah, Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh. We learn from Sota, right? V'nistra V'hinitma, that Dafka B'makom Seise, that the reason we assume the Sota is Tameh. Tameh doesn't, it's interesting, the whole context of Sota has nothing to do with Tumah. It's obviously about Iser. She becomes Asur Labayla. But since the Torah calls it Tumah, we learn halachos of Tumah from that. Even though it really has nothing to do with Tumah whatsoever, the fact that the Torah uses the word Tameh is able to teach us laws of Hilchas Tumah. But anyway, that rule doesn't apply when you're dealing with a dead sheret that's floating on the water. A dead sheret's floating on the water, even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Sveiko Tahar. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from this pasuk. Hasheret's kol makom sheret, afilo alamayim, and it says ala aretz. So one is talking about Tumas Vaday, one is talking about Tumas Safek. That kol makom sheret, afilo alamayim, is when it's Tumas Vaday, and ala aretz is only Tumas Safek, is only going to be Tamei ala aretz. Tumas Safek is not going to be Tamei alamayim. Tamar Vitzabar Adimi ala aretz, So how can we use Allah Aretz to teach me anything else? We already use Allah Aretz to teach me about Safik Tumat Safa. So says Gemara Tati Allah Aretz Ksivi. There are two Al Ha'aretzes. There are two times it says Allah Aretz, one to teach me each limud. Fine. Says Gemara Vayta now. Tana Rabbanan. New thing. Hatsav Liminehu Lahavi Ha'arud. Well, when it lists the types of different shratzim, the Torah says Hatsav Liminehu, that comes to include the Arud or Arvad, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. V'chein ha'nefilim v'salamandaria, and so too the nefilim and salamandaria, other types of shratzim. Salamandaria, Rashi says, very interesting kind of sheretz. Sheretz ha'notzar mina'or me'atze hadas al yidei kshafim. It's a sheretz that they would use kishuf to create such a sheretz using the branches of hadasim and fire. Vasach midamo ena or sholed bo, and it was a fire retardant. If you would repellent or whatever, if you would put it on your skin, you wouldn't be able to, it would save you from burning. The kimle the Rabbi Kiva demina tzavu. So Rabbi Kiva is saying that it's a type of tzav. Now what is a tzav? I think in modern Hebrew we refer to a turtle as a tzav. So that's a discussion. How can a tzav be a turtle? There's a mission in Shabbos that says that if you trap a tzav on Shabbos, you're chayiv for trapping. But the number one klal in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tzeda is that kol mechusar tzeda yichayev if you tzad. Anything that would require an act of trapping, that you can't get, the way Mishnah understands it, that you can't catch in one lunge, in a single lunge after it, that would be called tzeda. But anything that you can catch just by picking it up, so that would not be called tzeda. So very strange, how a turtle is slow like a turtle. You could you could definitely get it in a single lunge. You just pick it up off the ground and you trap it. So very, very difficult to understand how it could be subject to the issue of trapping. This is a relevant discussion in of all places, the contemporary discussion about the modern tcheles that was found, because the snail that they use, the chilazon also, the chilazon, the Mishnah says, is also something that tzad chilazon talks about trapping a chilazon. But if it's a snail is also extremely slow. The way to catch a snail is just by picking it up. So how could it be tzad chilazon? Very similar issue to the issue of the tzav. So depending how you solve that problem, so Shlomo Zalman is quoted Shmir Shabbos that tzav doesn't mean turtle. It must mean something else, because it's not shayach to trap a turtle. In which case, that's what Rabbi Reisman said. That's the biggest that was, at least to my mind, of all the kashas he had on the tcheles, that lechor was the biggest kasha he had. But if you understand that maybe there are ways, if something is not readily available on the land, and you actually have to put out traps in the sea in order to get these snails that are living underneath the sea to come in and to the traps, so even though if you had it right next to you, you'd be able to pick it up, but still it requires an act of seda in order to be able to actually catch them, so then maybe that would be a good defense for why the chilazon might be a snail. Okay, anyway, so it's tzav over here probably does not mean a turtle, but it refers to, it includes other types of minim of shrotzim as well. Rabbi Akiva magia lepasuk zeh omer marabu ma'asecha Hashem. Rabbi Akiva was, when he saw this pasuk, he said, oh, marabu ma'asecha Hashem. How many people read the pasuk of Hatzav leminehu and say, wow, I'm inspired. Rabbi Akiva was inspired by Hatzav leminehu. Yesh l'chabrios gedolz b'yam, yesh l'chabrios gedolz b'yabash. He says, Ribbono Shlom, you have these large creatures in the sea and on the dry land, and those that are supposed to live in the yam, as soon as they come out into the dry land, they die right away. The ones that are supposed to live in the sea, as soon as the ones that live in the dry land, as soon as they go into the sea, they will die right away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everything its proper place to live, and outside of that environment, it can't survive. You have certain brios that can live in fire, and others that can live in regular air. Shabaor il mali olus la'avir mian mesos, the salamandaria, which is only lives in the ar, as soon as it comes into regular air, would die right away. And that which is supposed to live in the avir, as soon as it would go into the or, it would die right away. So how great are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creatures? The Gemara Masechet Chagiga says that the Eish Shel Gehenim is not Sholit on Talmidei Chachamim, Kal V'Chomer Misalamandaria. That the Salamandaria, the Talmidei Chachamim have Torah, and Torah is just like Salamandaria, comes from Eish, so the Torah also is Eish, and therefore, because Talmidei Chachamim are made up of Eish, they're not able to be consumed by the Eish of Gehenim. So, and the Gemara also says that Poshe Yisrael, Ein Eish Shel Gehenim Sholet Bem. Even non-Talmidei Chacham, even Avaryanim, the Eish Shel Gehenim is not Sholet on them. Kal V'chomer Mimizbeach Hazav, basically because they have mitzvos, that even the Poshe Yisrael are Malaya mitzvos Karima, the Gemara says in a couple of places, Mesach Sanhedrin. So the mitzvos serve to protect them. So I'm so far as an interesting biur of what's the advantage then of being a Talmud Chacham if nobody has the Eish Shaleta. So he says by Talmud Chacham it's the very nature. And the very nature of fire is that it's not consumed by fire. By the Poshe Yisrael it requires a Nes. He says Nafkamina would be for someone who is a Talmud Chacham that's a Poshe Yisrael. If you have a Talmud Chacham who knows how to learn, but he's a terrible human being. So he says then he's not going to get the Nes because he can rely on Teva, but then the Teva is not going to help him because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow the Teva to help him. Okay, anyway, Tanu Rabban, we have a Braisa. Kol sheyesh b'yabasha yesh b'yam chutz min hachulda. Anything that exists in the Yabasha exists in the Yam except for a Chulda. Amar b'zeira mikra, what's the pasuk that tells you that? Hazinu kol yosh ve'cheled. Amar avun b'reda b'shua be'bari de narash einan min ha'yishuv. The be'barim of narash, of a place called narash, are not min ha'yishuv, meaning they only grow in the water. Amar av papa b'shamta narash tarbe mashche v'ilase. That we hate this narash, it should be in a cherim. Its fat, its skin, its tail, everything about the narash is terrible. Eretz Eretz Shumi Dvar Hashem. Amra Papa Lo Ava Nara Shmoa Dvar Hashem. The Narash doesn't want to hear the Dvar Hashem. Amra Gidol Amrav Narsha'a, people from Narash, Nashkech, if they kiss you, Mani Kachech, count your teeth afterwards. Interesting expression. So you know there are certain people that you just know that you have to wash your hands after talking to them or something. These people are so sly and they're so if they kiss you, you got to count your teeth. They'll steal anything from you. Nahar Pekoda'a Lavyech Meglima Shapira Dechazialach. If someone from Nahar Pekod escorts you, it's probably because you're wearing nice clothing and they want to mug you for your clothing. Pumbedisa'a Lavyech Ashne Yoshvizech. If someone from Pumbedisa is escorting you, so it's a good time to change the hotel that you're going to stay in that night, because if he has any idea where you're sleeping, he's going to wipe you out clean of all of your possessions. So it's going progressively from the worst to a little bit better types of ganavim, it seems, or at least in some order. The Lev Aryeh, according to the Biuri Adaf over here, says that in each city uses a different lashon to describe how they're chashav b'gneva, because it's in different madrigos. First one by the Narsha, they were gedolim muchzakim yoser b'rishusam. They were more muchzak in their rishus, and therefore money kachyech, even something that's right that's hidden in your mouth, like your teeth, which are closed up in your mouth, still they'll be able to manage to steal that from you. The Nar Pekoda, which aren't such chachamim lahara, they're not so brilliant in their ways of doing evil, would not be able to take something that's totally hidden from them. But if they accompany you, somewhere along the way, they'll be able to take your nice clothing, your nice coat that you're wearing. But the Bnei Pumbedisa are not even able to take that bayom. They have to wait till nighttime, till you're sleeping, to be able to rob you, so they're not as good. Each one is better at the malacha than the next. Amar Rav Huna Bar Turta, Pam Achas Halachti Levadi, said, one time I went to Vavri Yisi Nachash Shu Koruch Al Tzav, and I saw a Nachash that was wrapped around the Tzav. L'yamim Yatza Arvad Mi Beneihem. And obviously they were reproducing, and a few days later, an Arvad came out from between them. And it's a very dangerous creature. Ukshabasi Vnei Rav Shimon Achasin, when I came to Rav Shimon Achasin, Amar Li, he told me what was going on in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind to allow this creature to be made. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Aviyu Biriya Shalom Barasi Ba'olami, they brought in a creature that I didn't create in this world. When people mate two different types of species, two different animals, so they're making new creatures that I never created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I take that as an insult, and therefore I'm going to bring in a new creature that I never created in the Briyas HaOlam either, and it's going to destroy them. This is the Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks about the Isser of being Marvia Klaim, being of interbreeding animals, uses such a svara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world for us to try to say that we know better than God, and we're going to create things that are better than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, is the Shoresh HaIsser, is the reason for the Isser that Sefer HaChinuch comes up with. It's a very tricky thing to figure out. On the other hand, it's Milo Arts for Kivshua. We're supposed to conquer and discover and find things and be able to innovate. So you have to, it's very tricky to know what's what. V'amar Mar, Kol She Tashmish and V'yiburin Shava, Yoldin Megaldin Zemizev, Kol She Tashmish and V'yiburin Shava, Ein Yoldin Megaldin Zemizev. But wait a second, only things that have the same cycles in terms of pregnancies are able to mate with each other and produce offspring. So how is it that the tzav is able to produce offspring with a nachash? So Amarav Nes Petoch Nes. That's why it's a miracle within a miracle. So says Gemara Nes Hyperanusahu. It's a terrible peronus that's brought to the world when this terrible creature comes and destroys things. So my Nes Petoch Nes the peronus. Yeah, that's what we mean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring piranhas, made a nes betoch nes. Normally they shouldn't be able to reproduce, and the fact that they were able to reproduce was itself a nes. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in order to be liparam in a rishayim, in order to pay back the rishayim for their evil ways. New Mishnah, ha'ever v'abasar medudalin, if you have an ever limb or flesh of an animal that's hanging off of the animal, it's still attached slightly, but it's hanging off of the animal, it's just important to remember, Aver Menachai and Basar Menachai are different in that Aver is Metame Adam Mekalim like a Nevela, and Aver Menachai is Metame. Basar, that's not an Aver, is Tahar. Basar Menachai is Tahar. Obviously, Basar can have Tumas Ochlin or whatever, but Basar Menachai is Tahar. Ha Aver Va Basar Mulzadolim Bebehema Metame Tumas Ochlin Bemekoman. So So if it's medulda on the behema, if it's hanging off of the dangling off of the behema, so it's metame tumas ochlin in its place, even though it's still mechubar. If you have in mind that you want to feed it to a guy, it's already considered ochel to be metame tumas ochlin. Now tumas ochlin means that it can become tame if it's is hukshar lekabel tuma and the sheretz touches it, it can become tame utzrich and hechsher, and it does need hechsher lekabel tuma in order to become tame, but it can become tame as ochlin. Nishchita behema, if the animal is then shechted, hukshru b'dameha divrei meir, then the dam of the animals machshir that aver, that basar. Rabbi Shimon omer lo hukshru. Rabbi Shimon says no. The blood of the animal when it was shechted is not machshir it. Mesa behema basar tzarech hechsher. If the animal just dies, then the basar does require hechsher. Ha'aver mitami mishum aver menachai ve'enu mitami mishum aver nevela divrei meir. That aver is mitami for as aver menachai. It's not mitami mishum aver nevela, because even though the animal died and the rest of the animals in Nevela, this limb was dangling off the animal beforehand, and it was already considered ochel, it was already considered a piece of food separate from the animal. So therefore it is Eiver Min Achai, it is not Eiver Min Nevela. Rabbi Shimon Mitar, Rabbi Shimon says Tar, the Gemara is going to explain what in the world Rabbi Shimon is talking about, that it's Tar, why should it be Tar, we'll get to it. Says the Gemara, Tumas Ochlin in Tumas Nevela Lo. Sounds like from the Mishnah that when you have the aver that's dangling, it's mitame like food. It could become tame like food can become tame if it becomes sukshul kabel tuma, then a sheretz touches it, but it doesn't have the status of a nevela. It doesn't have the status of Tumas Nevela, meaning, had it been completely detached, so it would be Eiver Min Achai. Eiver Min Achai is Metame Adam Kalim, just like a Nevela is Metame. So had it been completely detached, it would be Tame like a Nevela, because it's Eiver Min Achai. But it sounds like we don't consider it like a Nevela. Say Chidami. So says the Gemara, what exactly is the case? How badly is it severed? If it's able to heal itself, it might heal itself and regenerate the tendons and whatever and stay attached to the animal. Then it shouldn't be considered ochlin either. It's still part of the animal. So and if it can't heal itself, then it should be considered something that's completely detached from the animal. It should even be tame tumas nevela. So the olam dein malin arucha, something that cannot heal itself. Aye, why isn't it tame tumas nevela? V'shayni tumas nevela drachman amar ki yipol ad she yipol. The pasuk says ki yipol, it means that nothing is tame tumas nevela until it actually falls off the animal. Not nothing is mitame tumas nevela. If an animal dies, it's mitame tumas nevela. We're talking about nothing that can be mitame, no aver min achai that's mitame like a nevela can have a status of aver min achai until it actually falls off of the animal. Tanya namiyachia aver va'abas ramadudalin bebehema umu'urin bechuta sa'ara. Let's say it's dangling off of the animal, but it's still somehow connected by a chuta sa'ara by the slightest strand. Yachol yitmutumas nevela. One might have thought that it should be mitame tumas nevela because there's no way it's ever going to heal itself. It's definitely not coming back on that animal. Tamalomar yipol achi yipol. That's why the pasuk says yipol. Then no, it's only mitame tumas nevela once it's actually completely off of the animal. Va'afilu hachi tumas ochlin mitmu. And nevertheless, it could still be mitame tumas ochlin. It still counts as to be detached in regards to tumas ochlin. Mesayele the rebchia barashi. And this is a raya to rebchia barashi. Damer rebchia barashi. Amar Shmuel te'enim shetsamku bi'ivehen mitamus tumas ochlin. Let's say you have figs that completely shrivel up when they're still attached to their branches. So they're mitame tumas ochlin, meaning nothing food cannot be mitame tumas ochlin normally when it's still attached to the ground, when it's still on the tree. But over here, it's completely shriveled up, so it's dried up. It's considered as if it's no longer attached to the tree vis-a-vis tumas ochlin. V'atolish man b'shabes chayev chatas. But if you pull them off of the tree, even though they're completely shriveled up on Shabbos, you're chayev korban chatas for doing a malacha of pulling it off of the ground on Shabbos. So we see that even though for one halacha we're going to consider it to still be attached, for the halacha of tumas ochlin we consider it to be detached. Very, very similar to what we said about the tumah of aver min achai versus the tumah of ochlin. Le'misayele, another raya, yirakos shetzamku b'yivein. If you have vegetables that have shriveled up on their branches, kigona karva dala'as, like a kruven a dala'as, ein metamit tumas ochlin, and not metamit tumas ochlin. Katsan v'yavshan, metamit tumas ochlin. But if you cut them off and they dry them up, Then they're metamei tumas ochlim. Katzin v'yavshon salka daitach eitz v'yalmu. What do you mean katzin v'yavshon? Then it just turns into like a piece of wood. How could that be called ochlin to be metamei tumas ochlin? V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ba'al menas v'yavshon. So Rabbi Yitzchak says is what it means is if you cut it off al menas to be miyavishit. Time of the kruvu delas who kiven the yavshon lav bnei achilin inhu hashar peiros metamei. So it sounds like it's dafka the kruv and delas that when you dry them they're not going to be something that's even edible, but other peiros would be metamei even when they're still on the tree and they're dried up because they're edible. Seichidami idiyavshon if they're dried up heinvuk saying idiyavshon heinvuk saying if they're totally dried up pshita then it's obvious elav below saying it must be that the ukatz is not dried up only the pre itself is dried up. So it says no. The olam heinvuk tzayin the katzan al menas yavshan is trichalei. Maybe in a chinami we're talking about that heinvuk tzayin and that both they and their ukats are dried up, where it would obviously be considered talush. Even legabe hilchas Shabbos would be considered talush. And in a chinami that's not a chiddush that it's already considered ochel. But the chiddush is katzan al menas yavshan. Last couple lines tashma ilan shenifshat ubo peros harehein kitlushin a tree that was detached and it has fruits on it. It's considered like talush. Yavshu harein kumuchubar. And if they're dried up, if it's just dried up, then it's considered mechubar. My love matlush and lekal devrein af mechubar and lekal devrein. But wait a second, isn't this a kasha on us? Because doesn't it sound like it's either mechubar or it's talish, but it can't be mechubar for some halachos and talish for other halachos? Says Rana, midiriya, hakadisa vakadisa. It could be for some halachos considered talish, for some halachos is considered mechubar, not a kasha. Okay, we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow.